In the name of one God, creator, redeemer, sustainer. Amen. Amen. Doubting Thomas. Quite the reputation, isn't it? How would you like it if your doubts were cemented in gospel for all time? In the traditional interpretation of Thomas as a doubter, we actually see several aspects of good news. First, notice how the other disciples do not exclude Thomas for his doubts. They go to him, they reach out to him, and they include him. And even when he expresses his doubts, they welcome him back into the community, and the second time they gather, Thomas is among them. It would have been so easy to exclude Thomas and create theology around it. Judas the traitor, Thomas the doubter. Jesus appeared to us, the ten. He appeared through locked doors. He knew Thomas wouldn't be there. He chose to appear to us and not to Thomas. But they don't. Even though Thomas doubts, they welcome him back, and he is present the next time. And this alone testifies that our faith is large enough to hold our doubts, and being a community requires of us to include those who might be carrying questions or burdens. And second, we see that Jesus comes back. Jesus comes back a second time just for Thomas. Thomas has expressed his doubts, and Jesus comes to him and says, I am here for you and your doubts as well. Faith is not simply about unwavering belief. Faith is about tough questions, heavy hearts, unfair burdens, and yes, doubt. In our lives, we encounter all of these things, and just like for Thomas, Jesus shows up for us too. And just like the disciples showed up for Thomas, our faith compels us to show up for each other, doubts and all. But honestly, I don't think of Thomas as doubting. I think of Thomas as tender-hearted and cautious. His request to see the wounds of Jesus is not skepticism, it's honest pragmatism. It's self-protection. Have you ever had an experience like this? You're having a bad day, something's on your mind, you're going through something, and then someone, maybe a stranger, maybe a friend, maybe a priest, asks you, how are you doing? And you kind of hesitate for a moment, and you make this mental calculation. Am I going to be honest with this person? Is this a safe place? Can I share with them how I'm hurting in my heart, the worries I have, the concerns I have, the pain I have? Are they going to be able to understand it? Are they ready to hear how I really feel? If you've ever made that calculation, if you've ever hesitated to bear your pain to someone else, unsure of how it would be received, then you understand Thomas. Thomas makes a revealing, even vulnerable request. He wants to see the nail marks. He wants to touch the wounds. He's not asking for a show. He's asking, is your pain real enough to hold my pain? Is the hope of the resurrection strong enough, big enough to carry my sorrow? He doesn't want a magic trick. He doesn't want a Jesus that's perfectly, miraculously healed, unblemished, untouched by the resurrection. He wants a real resurrection. He needs to know that the suffering was real, that Jesus was acquainted with grief. If the risen Jesus has wounds, then the hope of the resurrection is big enough to take our pain, our sorrow, our grief. So he's asking to touch the wounds because he's asking if Jesus' resurrection, if the risen Jesus is still acquainted with human sorrow, with suffering. He needs to know that the resurrected Jesus, the eternal Word, still bears the marks of his humanness, that he still shares something with us in our humanity, that even our pain is touched by Jesus's divinity. If Jesus goes back to wholeness, if the resurrected Jesus has no wounds, if this is just a trick, then it has no depth. It has no meaning. Easter hope is fleeting. Thomas is bold in asking Jesus for vulnerability. He's asking for that intimacy that he once had with Jesus before the crucifixion as a disciple, where they lived and dwelled together and walked the road together. He's demanding that, asking for what he needs to believe. And in doing so, Thomas joins a holy lineage. The scene evokes the imagery of Jacob wrestling the angel all night, demanding a blessing, or Hannah weeping bitterly in the temple that the Lord would give her a child, or the woman who reached out to touch the hem of Jesus's garment. All throughout Scripture, there are people who demanded, cried out, reached out, pleading with God, "Do you see my pain? Do you know what it costs to keep hoping?" Thomas stands among them. His request is not doubt. His request is made from need, real need for real presence. Thomas knew about woundedness, and he needed a Savior who knew about it too. And if Jesus' resurrected body doesn't have wounds, then he cannot hold my pain, and he doesn't know my suffering. Thomas needs to see Jesus' wounds before he can bear his own. And in that, he speaks up for all of us. Is the resurrection real enough to hold my grief? Is it strong enough for the pain I carry? Is it tender enough for the places in me that still bleed? Is it certain enough to guide me through confusing, uncertain times? Thomas is boldly asking for what he needs, for what we all need. And hearing his plea, Jesus responds. Jesus offers himself. "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side." Jesus offers that vulnerable intimacy that Thomas longs for. But notice it doesn't say Thomas touched him. It says that upon seeing the wounds, Thomas declared, "My Lord and my God." It's a powerful exclamation, the strongest declaration of Jesus' divinity among any witness of the resurrection. Speaking not just of the resurrection of Jesus, but of the oneness between Jesus and God. And Thomas's words echo back to the very beginning of John's gospel. The Word was God. At last, Thomas sees. The wounds are real. The love is real. The hope of resurrection is large enough to hold our pain. The blessing Thomas receives is Jesus' presence. Jesus gives himself, his wounded, risen body, in an act of vulnerable love. And then Jesus extends the blessing further. "Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet come to believe." Blessed are those who have not seen. Blessed are us. Blessed are we who are still learning to trust that the wounds are real, that the love is real, that the hope of resurrection is great enough to carry everything we bring. We hear this gospel every year on the Sunday after Easter. We have different gospel readings for each year of Easter for almost every Sunday, but this Sunday we hear about Thomas every year. The Sunday after Easter is traditionally a low Sunday. Gone are the Easter egg hunts and the Easter bunnies. There's no brass, there's no banners, there's no photo booth. Maybe the lectionary crafters figured that the people who come to church on this Sunday are the people who identify with Thomas. You're back to see if the hope of the resurrection lasts beyond the hoopla of Easter. Hearing this gospel today, we have good news twice over. First, whatever heartbreak, pain, doubts, or confusion you carry, this gospel reminds us that God's love is big enough to hold all of it. You can be bold and raw and vulnerable with Jesus, and he will meet you in that emotion. You will not be excluded or left behind or cast out by Jesus or by this faith community. So if you find yourself in that place of wrestling like Thomas, like many in that holy lineage, I encourage you to be bold and have it out with Jesus. Ask for what you need. He is waiting to meet you in your questions, your doubts, your grief. Second, there's good news for us as a community. In the way that the disciples embraced Thomas, we are called to show up for others, for each other, doubts, wounds, pain, and all. And in fact, it may be because of our pain, not in spite of it, that we are called to bear witness to God's love. Like the disciples, we are called to those who are hurting, called to go out to those who are hurting, burdened with doubts or heartache or sorrow. We're called to welcome them in. Like Thomas, they might receive us with caution, with hesitation, wondering if we know the hurt that they have, and if this is a safe place where they can be honest. The gospel encourages us to tell them and show them, yes, you can be honest here. And we show them that by bearing our own wounds, modeling it ourselves, just like Jesus, just like the disciples. It's our job to let them know that they can be honest, they can have doubts, they can have questions, they can have pain and sorrow by showing them our own wounds with confidence that God's love is seen in the pain that we carry. So may the scars and marks that you have in your life become the places where others see the healing love of Jesus. Amen.